Sa singaniku ya sa bula, kari situ sa bula bea. Sa singaniku ya sa bula, kari situ sa bula bea. Sa bula, isu sa bula bea. Sa singaniku ya sa bula, kari situ sa bula bea.
It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives with me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He lives, He lives. Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
Day, day that Thou have set aside for to honor the resurrection of our Lord. We thank You, Father, for making it possible for us together here once again. In the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, Father, You be here to break down the word of life to us. May that You grant us grace, Father, to see further and be fed the word of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated and go to the book of John chapter 8. Book of John chapter 8. We already finished with chapter 7 and now we're still on the same timeline. And John chapter 8 and the last verse of John chapter 7 says that every man went about unto his home. After that, you know, when they had a confrontation again with Jesus Christ. So now in chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. Now, this is the habit of Christ. Most of them, many times He will go, when He is down in Jerusalem or any place up in Capernaum or Galilee, He will always go up into the mountain to pray. And then He will get down and minister the word to the people, and perhaps will be a people right into the time of the sunset, have his meal, and then he will go up to the mountain somewhere, and he will be always spend his night out in open. If we look at Luke chapter 21, if you can just turn the book of Luke chapter 21 and verse 37 to 38, chapter 21, 37 to 38. And in the daytime he was teaching the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. So whenever he's down in the south, especially in Jerusalem, he will spend most of his time up on Mount Olives. Mount Olives, even though you still remember, is on the east of the city of Jerusalem. It's about a kilometer and a half. Alright, east of the city of Jerusalem. Alright, go back to chapter 8 now. And so when he came down, all the people came And he sat down and taught them. And this is one, and this is all after what we hear in the Bible, or we read in the Bible. When Jesus taught the people, he would always sit down. He would not stand up, he would always sit down. And he's always sit down comfortably and just to discuss, and a lot of people are sitting down before him. And that's how it was in those days. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? As usual, here we have the Pharisee and the scribe. They are the ones that always so self-righteously believed it, what they believed was right, not realizing they had been trapped in denominational spirit or under a traditional spirit, under the tradition of the elders that is passed down, and which is not based on scripture, but on certain places, sometimes, yeah, they were based on scripture, but they were taken out to give a certain interpretation. So they're trying to gain righteousness by work. They have to fulfill this law, fulfill that law, and not just fulfilling the law of Moses actually, but what they have interpreted was way off the law of Moses. But because they were the mainstream religion of those days, when they saw John the Baptist being somebody that were not from their organization, they would like to always go out there and question such prophets. And so when Christ came and preached, and since Christ Jesus did not come out from the organization, Christ was not a scribe, neither was he a Pharisee or a Sadducee. So here was a man who, you know, they do not recognize, or they would not approve, they would not approve of, because to them Jesus was a bastard. Because, you know, they said that they know that, before Mary and Joseph, the father, were married, the mother was already pregnant with him. So, you know, so they consider him an illegitimate child, you know. And of course, they kill as usual, knowing that Jesus, this is coming to the feast time now. This is the last part of Christ, what we call ministry, for the last 6 months now. Alright, this will be the next 46 months he will minister before he will be taken and judged and crucified. So now the Jew, the scribe, knowing that the Pharisee scribe, they said, knowing that he was in Jerusalem, that he would always go to the temple. And the people around about knew that this was the habit of our Lord. Alright, so he would go to the temple and he would sit, and the people would gather to hear him preach. And here again, as usual, came the Pharisees and the scribe and the Sadducees and all these other religious men to try to find fault with him. So in this case, they saw Jesus there, and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And they set her in the midst, you know, of the people. Just imagine now, it was not a confrontation that was on the sun. It was a confrontation that was public, in the open. They took the woman where Jesus was ministering, they took the woman and they placed right in front of the whole congregation and said now, and they said to him, Master, well that's kind of very nice, right? They acknowledged him, respectfully used the word Master. But of course, Jesus wasn't their Master. They tried, you know how the pharisaical hypocrisy, how the spirit works. In a sweet way, one thing, and then behind something else. Like somebody call me Brother Gunn, and next moment they came, he's a devil. So as I said this, you know, the way that they approach things. So they came and they said this, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. How did they catch her in the very act? You know. Now, when we read the Bible here, adultery, we need to know that they are in the Hebrew, in the Eastern concept. When a person, when a woman is betrothed or engaged to a man, now that is considered binding, alright? Okay? It is binding in the Eastern concept. It's called betrothed. It is as good as the marriage, the real thing. Only that the marriage is a day set. You understand? Set for them to come together to be wet in front of the rabbi or the priest, in front of the people. So like what we will have today, you engage and you set a date, right? So in those days, if a woman who is betrothed hasn't yet married, and she commit adultery with another man, or fornication with another man, alright, this is a very serious case, because she is betrothed to the man who is to be her husband. But if she go and play the fool with another man, it's a very serious thing. That's why here in this case here we read that in verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What's that now? Stoned. Now, not all cases of sin in the Bible under the Jewish law is death by stoning. Most of the time it's actually death by strangulation. They would take a napkin, and then they will put another bigger napkin inside the napkin, and then roll it up and bite the napkin, and then they put it the knot, and under the person's throat, and then they tie it, and then one man will pull one side, and then the animal will pull it up until the person is strangled to death. So adultery, if a man who is married or the woman who is married commit adultery, they are not stoned, they are strangulated. Alright, they are to be strangulated. So in this case here, this woman is to be stoned. So it is a case of a woman or young damsel who is betrothed. So the part of this, we can say, okay, if you like, go to the book of Leviticus 20:10. Leviticus in the Old Testament. And the man that commit adultery with another man's wife, even he that commit adultery with his neighbor, wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall be surely put to death. Okay. Then we look at Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22-24. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a man, then they both of them die. Both the men that lie with the woman and the woman, so that they shall be put away even from Israel. If a damsel, that is a virgin, betrothed to her husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stone that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city. And a man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. So those who are betrothed should be stoned. Those that are not, those already married, will be put to death, and usually by strangulation. So in this case, when we look at this, then we realize that it is not just a woman, but it's a damsel, virgin, that was supposed to be married to a man. So they caught her and brought her to Jesus and asked. Now they are smart. This is what it is, like in the end time message. People will come and ask a question. They will ask me many times, Brother Graham, this is what Brother Graham said. What do you think? You know, they will do this. This is, you know, what Brother Graham said. What do you think? They want to sort of trap me, whether I will be going against Brother Graham, or that I would, you know, give my own explanation or whatever it would be. It's what is ever in their mind. Usually there is to say, this is what Brother Abraham said. What do you think? You know. So if I were to bring the scripture, then to explain to them, then because they don't see the revelation, they say, oh, then you are not a believer because you don't believe what Brother Abraham said. So this is how they trap. So in this case, the Pharisees and this religious leader, they came to Jesus in a hypocritical way by saying, calling him master. And then said, this one was caught in adultery. This is what the law in Moses' law said, she should be stoned. So what do you say? Now, by asking this question, if he were to contradict Moses, then he's not. They know that, oh, this fellow is not really a prophet of God. And if he were to say anything that politically or judgment that he passed, do not contradict Moses, But yet, if he were to pass judgment, he will be contravening against the law of Rome. Because the only people that can bring out judgment is the Roman. Do you understand? So now they are smart, they try to play two sides. What I would do is they try to trap him. You say one thing against Moses, you're not a prophet. If you would say anything that involves the law of the Roman ruler, then we can report you to the Roman, you know, officer and have you arrested. So now when they put him in this situation, crisis. You know, you must understand the wisdom of the Lord. This is what they say in verse 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them a note. Kind of strange, isn't it? What was he doing writing on the ground? You know, just imagine Jesus was sitting down there talking to the people, teaching the people. Here came the leader with a woman, placed the woman in front of her. Jesus did not look at them. And then they talked to him, and then he just did not look at them. Alright, they asked the question, he did not look at them. He just wrote on the floor, on the ground. Now remember, this is a temple. Now the temple ground, the temple was still in building. Alright? King Herod always had the temple built, and it has been for a long time, for more than 40 years. The temple was still in building. So there are always some stones lying around, and you know, and the temple ground was still, I mean, they don't put really cement in the way that we have today. So there are dust all over the place. So he put his finger and wrote on the dust of the ground. But what do you think he writes? And this has been a puzzle for many scholars trying to figure out what he wrote. You know. So let's look at Jeremiah. Chapter 17, verse 13. Jeremiah. Chapter 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. So was he writing the accuser's name? They have forsaken me, right? Lord, those that are ashamed of me. Now, if you write something on the sand, if you write something on the sand, the wind blows it, the record is no more there. If you engrave it on the stone, it's permanently there. Right? Was it Jesus writing the name of the accuser on the sand? If it is so, the means to say that when the wind blows, the accuser's name is no longer true, they are no longer the accuser. So what do you think he writes? Therefore, it cannot be this verse. But many people are thinking that it was. I believe that if you read the record where we read just now earlier on in chapter Leviticus and Deuteronomy, when a man is caught in adultery with a woman, both the adulteress and the adulterer must be together and stone them. What do you think so? You know that right? Because they were, see, they only brought to him only the woman. They didn't bring the man. Right? So do you think that is fair? Said not fair, definitely. So I believe what Jesus wrote would be probably a verse of Deuteronomy. But nobody knows, right? Because here, because I'm looking at what happened to the man, the adulterer, that committed that sin with this woman. He cannot just stone a woman without stoning the man. Because it takes two to party. Right? So we're going away, nobody knows what he wrote, but he, in the sense that the Bible said, he put his finger on the ground as though he hurt them now. He just ignored them, practically. He doesn't want to give them a direct answer. And then it's verse 7. So when they continue asking him, he lift up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone first. Wonderful word. He now is to say that they want to make him the judge over the woman. And the only person who could judge would be the Roman officer. If a woman coin anything or break any law. But of course, this is a religious thing. The religious leader brought the woman to her. And they put him in a situation whether he would agree to what Moses said. If he agreed, yes, Moses said to stone her to death, then they would have to stone her. Isn't that right? You see. But they know the intention of their evil heart. He said this. Now, it's important for us to think twice before we speak. And this is what Jesus did. He did not speak in haste. So he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So who is without sin? In the whole congregation of people, who is without sin? Every one of them know they commit sin. But this is not what Jesus said. He is saying to this leader, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now, this word, sin, is in a general term, whatever you do. That means to say that he that is without wickedness, he that is without evil thought, he that is one who has not broken any law of God, so to speak. Now, every one of us were born in sin. We are all born in sin, so we know that. Alright, now let's go to the verse of Deuteronomy. We look at this. 17, verse 7. Deuteronomy 17, verse 7. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death. Afterward, the hands of all the people. So they shall put the evil away from among you. So the first person should be able to cast the stone, the first person to cast the stone first. It's the one who is a witness. So where is the witness to this act? Did the Pharisees and Sadducees themselves, the scribe, witness this whole thing? Apparently, I don't think there was any that could say that they were witness of this. Because the law demanded if a person is caught in adultery, the person who caught the person who committed the act, he will be the first to cast the first stone. Alright, so in this case, if the Pharisees did themselves brought this woman or caught this woman in the act, they should be the first to cast the stone. Obviously, right? So now Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now this sin, therefore, is not pointing to any simple act that you of sin that you commit against God. But this is talking about the same sin in the Philippines. That means the same act. He that is without this same act of sin, let him cast the first stone. Now Jesus knows these Pharisees and Sadducees, they themselves commit fornication. They themselves commit adultery, the adulterous act. Okay, we look at Matthew 12:39. Okay, Matthew 12:39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the son of prophet Jonah. Verse 38 tells us, who was seeking for a sign? The Pharisees. And Jesus called them an adulterous generation. In the sense that the other adulterous generation also involved that these people themselves committed fornication too. Not just spiritually, but they themselves who has adulterous in the physical life as it was, as they were in the spiritual. Alright, let us go to another verse, Romans 2:22. Thou that say a man should not commit adultery, do thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idol, do thou commit sacrilege? That's a Jew. The same thing, they themselves did the very act. That's what Jesus called them hypocrites. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea is in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4, verse 14. not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that do not understand shall fall. God said, I will not judge your daughter if she played the harlot. Because why? You elders, you fathers and grandfathers and all these religious leaders, you have committed it. If you don't set the example, that's why the younger generation follows suit. But I would not judge the younger generation. So you see, what we see in the Old Testament and New Testament, that the children of Israel, though they were God's chosen people, I told you many of them, you read the Bible carefully, they have idols in their life. They worship idols. They eat blood when they are lost and they're not supposed to. They fornicate and they commit adultery. They know jolly well they shouldn't. Do you understand? So look at whole Israel. Why do you think God scattered them? When you, Abraham said that the same spirit that causes a man to fornicate or commit adultery with a woman, it's the same spirit that causes a man to commit spiritual fornication with the word of God. Do you understand? Right? The same spirit in both acts, whether spiritual or literal, it's the same spirit, the same demonic spirit that causes a man to do this. That's what the Pharisees, how can the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes be righteous in their faith? Be truthful to what they believe when their life is all a mess. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, you can tell me that, look at the denomination, the charismatism at Pentecostal, this World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. Can they ever be right when they have let the bar of the Word of God down? God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gives only His forgotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For men, and in our Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this is what the Bible talks about. Men have sinned and come short of the glory. The word come short means they fall short of that standard of God's word. The glory of God is the word of God. Men fall short of that standard. You see? And what about the church today? They have let the bar down, the word of God. They have let the standard down. They fall short of the glory of God that God wants people to believe and hold on to and live their life. So this is what the religious leaders were doing. And Jesus knew the intent of their heart, their evil deed, their wickedness that they have. They were out to try to destroy Him. And they were willing to have their woman judged by Christ and perhaps in front of them. And they would take the chance to perhaps also stone her to them. And then in verse 8, and again He stood down and He wrote on the ground. And when they heard it being convicted, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, the accuser of this woman brought her to the Lord. And when Jesus said that he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He that did not commit this act, he that without sin, actually point more to the act of adultery among these Pharisees. Let him cast the first stone. The only person who do not commit the same act. I mean, let's say this. If I commit adultery, can I judge a man who commit adultery? Can I? And condemn him when I myself commit the sin? Right? Isn't it so?
Sure.
So that's a judge. He that is without this sin, this is pointing to the sin, because that's what the Greek would say. This same sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, everyone who heard that, I mean, not the common people, but these Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they heard it, they were convicted in their heart. From the chief, the older one, They quietly move out. The rest follow. And so who's left? None of them were there. Except Jesus and the woman standing there. Of course, the common people, they were probably sitting around, standing around. And Jesus said to the woman, lifted himself up and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse her? Have no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Where is your accuser? Is anybody accusing you on anything? Since there is no accuser, there is nobody that can prove her guilt. Therefore Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Whatever you have done, don't do it again. That's what Jesus always do. Go and sin no more. Lest a worse evil comes upon you. And so why, as I said, when a man is clean of the spirit, Jesus gives that parable. Since the devil left the man, or spirit, whatever spirit left the man, and the home of the soul and spirit of the man is still vacant, it wasn't filled with any other spirit, the spirit will go to find another place to dwell. Since he couldn't find it, come back to this same man and see whether anybody had taken a hold in the soul and spirit of the man. Since he found none, the man will come back. And he brings back some other spirit with him. So that's why we are delivered from sin. We want to fill our life with what? With the Spirit of God. We want to let God live in us. Right? Because we are delivered from our sin, delivered from all evils. If not, then the Spirit of God is not in us, the Word of God is not in us, that spirit that went out from us will come back. And the man's condition will be 7 times worse than he was before. Right? So this we need to keep our understanding. God did not clean us to be filled with some other junk in our life. But God cleaned us to fill us with His Word and His love and grace. Alright. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Nobody commended themselves. Right? But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that follow me shall not dwell in darkness. You know, now let's go and look at the book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 22. Daniel chapter 2 verse 22. What the Bible said. He revealed the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelt with him. That's speaking about God. Right? So he knows what is in the darkness. He knows the darkness of the Pharisees. He knows that the light of the Pharisees, they were full of darkness. Darkness is tradition. Anything that contrary to truth and life. And the Bible says, and the light dwelt with him. For God is light. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk upright. So he likened unto a sun. Isaiah 42:6. Isaiah 42 verse 6. I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for the covenant of the people, for the light to the Gentile. So what is light? For God is light. What is truth? For God is truth. What is darkness? Darkness is tradition. Anything that opposes the word of truth, the word of light, is darkness. Here we have light, electricity of course, but flip the switch off and the whole place will be in darkness. Darkness and light can never dwell together. It can never. One can only exist at one time, only one place. So either darkness is in your life, in your soul, or light is in your soul. You cannot have light and darkness in your soul. You see, the Pharisees will act as if they have light of the Word of God. They have kept the law of Moses and all that. But they are full of tradition. And you know, when you don't have the truth, you have the wrong spirit. And what would the spirit cause you to do? The spirit will cause you to oppose the light. Very natural. You see, why do the Pharisees and the scribes seek to kill Jesus? Because there were no light in them. Because their deeds, and the Bible said, were evil. Is it true? True. He that has the light walks in the light, and not in darkness. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not just light, but the light of life. Particularly if we don't have light, you know what happened? Oh, you know, probably in school you've done an experiment. Take a seed, plant it, and let it grow into a sapling. Book, you know, you put one sapling in a box, and put it in a room or somewhere, and the other one you just put in a sunshine. What will happen to the one in the box without light? You die. Isn't it? That's not why the living thing needs the light of the sun. And that's what the Bible says, referring to God has the sun. The light of life. So the Word of God is the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Bold claim, very, you know, it's a bold claim to be what, you know, he said in front of these Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, you know what, you bear record of your own self. You know, and your record is not true. And which is true, because the book of John chapter 5, verse 31 says so. You go to John chapter 5, verse 31. Just that which we have read earlier, chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear record of myself, my witness is not true. Isn't it? So, Jesus contradicted himself here. Isn't it? Right? Early on he said, if I bear record of myself, my witness is not true. But down here he says, I'm the light of the world. And the Pharisee, you bear record of your own self, you know, and then that record is not true. Then Jesus said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Why? For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. What? Now I said, my record, I said, is true. I bear record of myself. My record is true because I know where I came from and where I will go. But you do not know where I came from and where I will go. What was he talking about? You do not know him. If you know him, then you will know who he is. When you know who he is, then his record is true. Now, you know, that's simple. Huh? If you know God, right, then you will know that what Jesus said is true. If you know that he was the Son of God, then what he said is true. You know, and continue, he said, you judge after the flesh, which is true. I judge no man after the flesh. You judge after the flesh. I think it's the same every time. You know, with the religion, it's the spirit of religion. In Christian dogma, whatever, it's always repeating itself down to generation. Huh? So in this day of Jesus Christ, Jesus said that you judge after the flesh. Why? When they look at him, why? Why can't they accept him? Why did not the Pharisees and scribes accept Jesus? Why did not the Sadducees and the Herodians, all the other group religious, accept Christ? Because he did not come the way they expect of a preacher or of a prophet. Well, they said to me before, you know, Richard, are you trained in the Bible school? Did you go to Bible school? Right? Now, I was telling a lot of these foolish people, I said, okay, you're a Methodist. When you go to Bible school, they send you to a Methodist Bible school, obviously. If you are the Presbyterian, they send you to the Presbyterian, right? If you are an examinist of God, they send you one to the examinist of God. And of course, all this, they will not accept each other's credential. Because you do not belong to the same organization as them. So which one do you think that you would be the one that is recognized by you. Only the one that is in your, according to your denomination. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, do you know one thing about it? The Pharisees and Sadducees, they are two main groups. And here we have the Herodian who is, of course, for Herod. But when they want, they don't agree with each other, you know what? Huh? They don't agree with each other. They cannot see eye to eye too. Like denomination today, they don't see eye to eye. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, they will all gang up together against Christ. They will do that. You know. So, Jesus, you judge according to the flesh because, yeah, you look at me, say, oh, wow, you're a bastard born. You know? Because you do not know me, but you think that you judge because I wasn't what you expected. And I don't judge according to the flesh. I don't, Jesus said. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. But if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone. I am my Father that sent me. Ah, now remember this was written by John. John is very critical about what we believe. John the Apostle, huh? Now remember, look at this verse carefully. If I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. In the book of, in the epistle of John, the Bible says this is salvation, that we must believe in God and Jesus Christ. It's always the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. Because the Father sent the Son. You know. So the Pharisees did not recognize that it was God who sent Christ because they couldn't see Him as the Messiah, because they didn't expect Him to come the way that He was, born in a manger somewhere, and they heard about Him being born in a manger, came to a woman who was pregnant before she was even married. So they were judging according to flesh, not according to spiritual things about what Christ had done. Remember Jesus said, if you don't believe me, at least believe my work, because my works testify who I am. But they did not. You know. Verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Right? Because this is what the book of Deuteronomy said so. At the mouth of two or three, let the matter be established. Right? You're familiar with that verse, I hope. Deuteronomy chapter 16 or 17 and 19, you can find it there. Alright. But though the Bible said at the mouth of two witnesses, let the matter be established, means it's true. But you know, sometimes it is not always true. When you are in corroboration, I mean the truth in the sense that it may be a false truth, falsified truth. Alright, say okay, two men said, well, we are witnesses, this guy stole something. But when he didn't steal, he didn't steal anything. Because two testified that he stole when he didn't. So this tells me of the two be against this person, and the person is put to death, or maybe jail, or whipped. Whatever the cause may be, whatever the things, how serious the crime, you see. But Jesus said, according to the law, yes. But in verse 18, I'm one that bear record of myself. And the Father that sent me bear record of me, bear witness of me. Wow. You see, this is, what Jesus said, do you think it makes sense? That's why he's using the Bible, he's using the law, the scriptures to tell them, I bear witness of myself. Can you bear witness of yourself? Oh, yeah, of course you can bear witness of yourself. You only need somebody else to verify it. That's why we have the Bible, the five four minutes, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, the apostles came and he preached certain revelation. The prophet, the New Testament prophet, when he heard what is true, they have this revelation about them, witnessed by God, then they will prophesy and confirm this doctrine or the teaching. You know? So, okay, if you have a dream, or if Christ comes to you in a vision, and you tell people that I have this vision, that Christ came to me. Now, you better record of your own self for what you know is true. But nobody else can testify. The only thing that will bear record of it is somebody who knows you, who see what you are telling about the vision that Brother Bram told the congregation, an angel came to him. Remember? And the angel told him, don't smoke, don't drink. Right? Okay? But when you grow up, I have a work for you to do. Remember that. So when the angel told him, he acted upon it. And the thing that testified to it is the people who saw what is being done in his ministry became the witness. So the sin said, Jesus said, I'm going to call my son, the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is your father? Show us your father. So their mind do not understand what Jesus was saying, and they're thinking, oh, Jesus talking about his an earthly father, because they knew that Jesus Christ don't have a father, and Joseph was the one that's supposed to be his father, you know. So now you show us the father, because he said the father witnessed, we will testify of him. Okay, show us your father. Isn't it true? It's finished. So where is your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you have known me, you should have known my father also. So now they're in trouble. Now Jesus is always, because this is what the Pharisees are challenging. And Jesus Christ is wise to give them an answer for them to see what you're referring to. To try to tell them about spiritual things, but as long as you are religious, you will never know spiritual things. I said this before and I said it again. Do not be religious. Be spiritual. Spiritual, being spiritual and being religious, entirely two different things. You're the one here, isn't it? Huh? Well, you can be religious, but, well, I go to church on Sunday, I go and sing and I go and pray and I go and require of me. That's being religious. Spiritual being is one who know what the Word of God said and to do what the Word said. And to be led by the Spirit, being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And know what to do. See, being spiritual is being in tune with the Spirit of God. Being religious is socializing most of the time. People go to church for social, to socialize many times. You know. Enough, it's true that we come here for fellowship. But after fellowship, we'll say, okay, why do we go after this fellowship? Why do we go to eat? Why do we go for a cup of coffee? Sometimes we do that, don't we? But fellowship is important, obviously. But do not mix fellowship, socializing as it is fellowship together in the world. This was by Jesus in the treasury. Now, they were in the treasury, in the department. Now, this is a temple in a certain area where the treasury is the place where, like the time when Jesus was in the area where he saw this woman came and gave two little mites. Right? Now, that is the place where they keep the offering, the upkeep of the temple. So they were in that section. And this was where Christ, Jesus in the treasury, he taught in the temple, and no man lay hand on him, for his hour was not yet come. So whatever Jesus spoke, it irritates the Pharisees and the scribe to no ends. Do you realize that? Irritates them to no end. You see. Now, I know I forwarded you an email. I think yesterday, someone sent to me, I think you should read the book. Though it's not a thick book, only 40 pages, I think. About a Catholic nun who was in the Catholic Church for 20 years. And she saw all that was going on. She left the Catholic Church, wrote the books, and in I think about 2 years, she disappeared. What do you think happened to her? The Roman Catholic CIA, you know who they are, don't you? The Roman Catholic CIA, they had a Jesuit. They probably have taken her and kept her somewhere else, kill her. That's what it is. You know, when somebody who has been in that church saw the thing that's been done, left, and wrote something against it, he's in trouble. You know. Just as we have in the world of fanatics, or someone, Rusty, who wrote about the 70 verse. You know what happened? Someone Rusty. You see, we live in a world that is dangerous. That's why if you know, when I went overseas sometime, I do not know what kind of country I'm in, you know, and they'll be saying something that, well, I have said something over in the Philippines that later they told me, you know, but again, they are here. I said, who is here? And those rebels, and you spoke something like that, they are coming up, they come here and put a grenade in the whole church blow up. You know, those are what they did in Marcos, you know. You see. And all when I was over in Benin, I spoke about sorcery and all Israel in the capital. In that capital, that Benin was happened to be the cradle, the center of the voodoo and sorcery empire. You know, so many times I there were, even when I was saying something, when I was in Punjab, Punjab is very near to the next border with the Taliban depot, you know, and I was right there, and right in the open, and I talk about Osama bin Laden. Then I'm going to say, hey, you know, they're all Turban people. You know, but again, you say right here, these people here, of course, they are, hopefully there are no extremists coming and point a rifle and shoot you down. I mean, you are living in a dangerous world. Anytime, any place you can be, anybody don't like hear what you say, they'll just punch you in the face, break your nose or whatever. You see. So of course we want to be wise, and but sometimes we just say we do not know, but we just go let the Lord undertake. But here it is that the Pharisees just were, they were invited to no end by Christ. You know, because whatever he said was true. But they just cannot, either they cannot comprehend or refuse just to accept the truth. You see. Right. Even when we know the last chapter we read, when they couldn't catch Jesus and they said, what happened to the Levi? So you didn't get him? We should get him, you know? And they said, but wow, you know, the thing he spoke, no man spoke like this man. You know, and Nicodemus stood up and said, you know, how can we judge a man before, you know, how can we condemn a man until we first hear him? And then they turned around and said, are you also with him? You know that kind of thing. Are you also part of him? Are you a follower of him? You know. So there are people right in the congregation. I don't know how many Pharisees, okay, they were actually converted. We know one of them was Nicodemus. We can say about Gamaliel, perhaps later on in his life. Huh? We know Saul became Paul later on. But we don't know anything else about the rest because the Bible did not record everybody. But obviously there are some, there are a few. But they're just so irritated. Now, let's continue. Then Jesus, they could not lay on him because you know what, his time was not yet. And there's a restraint by the Holy Spirit upon them to arrest Jesus Christ. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, you cannot come. I go my way. I go means my way of dying. Okay? And you shall seek me. I'm going in another place and you shall not find me. And you shall die in your sin. You will die in this offense that I'm telling you. What I already told you, you refuse to accept. And you are accusing me. And you will die in this offense. Whither I go, you cannot come. And this, the more that Jesus spoke, the more that these people get all messed up in their head. Because Jesus can never speak directly. He always speaks in a riddle. Right? And that's true. So whenever they come with a question, Jesus comes with a question. Now I speak in a very strange way. You know. And he says here, then said the Jew, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. Which is he going to kill himself somewhere? Nobody will see him go. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. So the more that the Pharisees hear, the more they are, the more frustrated they really are. You are from beneath, I'm from above. I mean, alright, they know what Jesus was saying. I said up unto you that you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I am he. Now, he become more enough now. He raised up to a higher level. He said, you will die in your sin if you do not believe that I am he. You shall die in your sin. Wow, you know the word, I am he. I am he. I am that I am. And that's not what they
They know the word.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. You know, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Alright, Exodus chapter 3, 14. God said unto Moses, because verse 13 says, what is your name? Moses was asking him, what is your name? And God said unto him, I am that I am. Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. That is in the Hebrew word, just only the letter. Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent thee. So when you read here in your King James, John chapter 8, verse 24, you notice one thing, he says, I am he, right? Right? Notice the word italic, he, is not in the original. Alright, so we have to put, when you translate, put the he so that people know, the reader will not be caught up when he says, I am. Alright, but it should be just I am. You shall die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. I am what? Some people, you know, English is, it must be something. You know, English construction, it must be I am something. Huh? Who are you? I am. I am what? You know, so I'm he, that sort of thing. So, but in the Hebrew, the word I am is who I am. I am that I am. So when he said this, the Pharisees knew what this means. And they said unto him, who art thou? Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Wow. Not from the beginning that I'm talking about, the thing that I talked to you about from the beginning. No, the beginning of all things, the beginning of life. I'm the same one that spoke from the beginning. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That's what he meant by I am. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminent. That's why he said in the next verse, for he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning, of the Lord the first and with the last. I am he. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And the Word said, let there be, and there was. So who art thou? I am. He said, the same that spoke to you from the beginning. John 8 again. So they know who he is now. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I have many things to say and judge you, but I will not do it now. Because this is not my time. Alright. There are many things that which I want, that I speak to the world, those things which I have heard of God, the Father. And so the Father wants me to say, I say it. They understood not that he speak to them of the Father, that he is God the Father. They were wondering who he was talking about. Then Jesus said that again. Alright. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am. When you have, now, you see the first place where in verse 21 it says that, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in the sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Obviously, because they are Pharisees, they don't believe, they cannot go where Jesus go. Where Jesus go, we can go. You are not a believer, you cannot go where he goes. The Pharisees cannot go. Alright, I go. But now, in one sense, I go to my death, I will die. Yes, everyone has to die, but I will go. Then, when I'm lifted up, now he used the word, I'm lifted up. When I am lifted up, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak those things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do those things that please him. As he spake this word, many believe on him. Who are these many? Not the Pharisees, the hearers in the temple. Jesus came early in the temple, and these are the people they want to hear. They know that Jesus will come. Every time early in the morning after he stayed the night in the Mount Olive, he will come down. And they knew that he would be there, so they want to be there and they want to take the front seat. And they want to see what's going on. Actually, the front seat, a lot of action going on. Because that's what the Pharisee will bring. They always will be there to argue with him. The Pharisee will not argue with them from the back and shout at him from the back. They want to come up to the front. You know. And so this is what it is. And so now, despite this, many believe on him. And so we have a lot of followers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. You remember we talked about discipleship? First you have to believe. Then Jesus said, then if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. If you say you believe and do not continue in my word, then you are not my disciple. You are just a hearer. You say, oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, I believe. You believe. But if you do not continue, you are not my disciple. Jesus means very clear. Because the devil also believed. The Bible said. And he trembled. And the devil is not stupid, you know. At least he believed and he trembled. He knows what the words of him, he trembled. But a lot of people in the Christianity, they say they believe but they don't tremble. What the Bible said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because you know this is true, this is life. Without the word you don't have life. You don't continue the word of God, you have no life at all. People say that's believe, John 3:16. John 3:16 is not all that is true, it's only a beginning. The seed. Right? So if you plant the seed, young man will know, right? I can't remember again. Ah, forget your name, brother. What is the name? Ay, ay, ay. I was trying to remember your Dr. Liu. Right, you know what, Liu, you know, right? When you plant seeds, if you don't water it, you don't give it sunshine, though it will grow up, you will die. Isn't it? And it will now bear fruit. So because why it does not feed on, you didn't give it nutrient. So if we say we are a seed of God, we must have nutrient. We must be watered by the word of God, right? And Jesus said, unless you eat my blood, drink in my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. That's why it's so important to fellowship around the word of God. Where the word of God was crucified for us. That's you know why we talk about the blood. Okay, which is life itself, the salvation. And the word is food to us. Without that, we cannot grow. Alright, continue quickly. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Common. Very well known verse. You shall know the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, how can you be set free? Simple statement. They answer him. Now, this is the Pharisees. We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How can you say you shall be made free? You know, the Pharisees, they said, we are Abraham's children. We are never in bondage. True enough. They were when the children of Abraham proliferated all over the land of Canaan, they were not subjected to any of the kingdom there. They were never in bondage. So how can he say we need to be made free? I see the mentality of these Pharisees. That's why I said many times. The Bible said this. Take heed what you hear. He that have a ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said. You see, they heard what Jesus said, but didn't hear what the Spirit said. They heard the voice of a man. Right? They didn't hear the voice of God. So when you judge, don't judge by what outward appearance. Don't judge by your opinion. Judge according to the word of God. Judge righteous judgment. And he said here, verily I say unto you, whosoever committed sin, it's the servant of sin. And the servant abide not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. I said to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. What means by commit sin? This word commit here means a choice. Whoever chooses to sin will always be a servant to sin. Because it is a choice. We are born into this world, we are born to sin. Yeah, we all know that. But we still have a choice to do it or not to do it. So here's it. Whosoever commits sin, forward chose to sin, he would always be a servant of sin. And a servant in the house cannot abide forever in the house. He will be kicked out. Only the son who is heir to the house will own it, will stay there in the house. Just a story like this. This is what happened to custom. If a father has many, have a big estate, and let's say he has two or three wives. I mean, they are allowed to have more than one wife, huh? Back in those days, right? Do you remember? Yeah. Okay, now, maybe just a concubine of whatever, like Hagar. Okay? And so he said, the father, this man has maybe two, three wives. But he has only one wife by legal marriage. The other one may be servants, handmaid in the house that he took them as concubine. Now when he died, the inheritance goes to the firstborn son. Is that right? So all these servants, all these children by brought forth through his union with the maids, who make them the maids become the concubine, right? They are all these children. They are actually servants. They are not true sons. You understand that? Okay? So if the father passed away, this elder son, he is the true son. Now he can have one or two choices. Either he sent all these sons of the father, children of the father, away out of his house. Okay? Or he keep them. Do you understand that? When he keep them, the means that he had to declare them his brother and sister. That's what Jesus did for us. You understand that? He is the true son. He's the heir of all things. And we are all joint heirs with him. Because he declared it so. That's why God, what Jesus said. The Bible said, you know, God the Father himself the true life. He gave this life to the Son. And the Son gave it to you and me. He had a choice. The Son, the heir of all things, make the choice. Alright, continue next. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's where the verse come in. So if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is heir to the throne of God, heir to every inheritance that God gave him, and he make us free, then we are free indeed. We are no more servants. If I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word have no place in you. Obviously, if you have the word of God in you, would you do the wicked thing that you would normally do, for example, before you come to Christ? Right. Because they said you seek to kill me because you have my word have no place in you. Even though you call yourself Abraham's seed, make no difference. Alright. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You see, when Jesus said, I do the work of my father, you do the work of your father. Oh, we are Abraham's, Abraham is our father. They can claim that. But Jesus is not referring to Abraham, he's referring to the devil. Your father, the work of your father, you would do. The works of our Father we do. Jesus said, I'm come to do my Father's work, my Father's will. Right? So we have either choice, whether we do the way of God or we do what the devil wants us to do. And the Pharisees did that which was of their father, the devil. Now that's why they say, if you were Abraham's seed, you will do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. You see, he said, you seek to kill me. This is the work not of Abraham. Abraham would not do this to kill me. Right? And he said, you do the deeds of your father. And he said, we be not born of fornication. They know what Jesus was talking about right now. So we are not born of fornication. Well, of course, you can claim that they are from the line of Abraham. They can claim that. They can claim that your mother and father were legally married. But that's not what was talking about here. It was something even deeper. Going back even to the Garden of Eden. They knew that anybody who is born of the serpent and Eve, well, again, you have a serpent line, they know that there is born of fornication. And Jesus was pointing to them, you know, the deeds of the Father you will do, your Father. But they knew, they were not doing this. But they didn't realize that they did. You know, they are so blind. We said today, look at denomination. Are they born of fornication? They are. Well, like it or not, born of spiritual fornication. But you know, sometimes it's hard for us to accept things like that. When you say things today, I mean, if let's say for example, I mean, I have a friend who now is a Presbyterian. If he was here, every Sunday, we would talk about what's going on, the Bible said. And we're talking about the system, we're talking about fornication, spiritual fornication out there in denomination. You know what he would say to me? He would probably tell some of you, Richard is too much. Every Sunday he talk about the churches, the denomination, this and that. They will. Everybody will come. People will complain. Right. It's simple. You see, the pastor is only out here preaching and the preacher is the one always get shot. Whether you agree or not, I cannot please everybody. Jesus Christ did not please everybody. Jesus Christ, how many times Jesus Christ, when he went preaching, the Pharisees come. And they challenged him and he told the truth. He spoke against them. What unto you? He cursed them. Remember, you hypocrites. Wow. That's why he's not why they get irritated. When you tell people the truth, they don't like to hear, they want to kill him. So there are people out there, they want to kill me. But I know. The fans. Friend of mine, they always want to come against me and wrote against me, all kinds of things. You know. What did denomination do to Brother Branham? The same thing. Huh? He spoke the truth. Do you know when Brother Branham was upon the scene, he preached so hard against the system? Because the system laughed him. They cannot tolerate it. He preached so much about the woman, how they should dress and how they should conduct themselves. Well, so they cannot take it. Also, they laughed him. He said, the truth is not for everybody. The truth is not that we want to hear and set them free. Paul, the same thing. Whenever he preached, you know, Paul, sometimes he's a very proud man. See, if you think you're spiritual, if you think that you're a prophet, let him take note that what I speak, it comes from God. Well, you say the man is still too proud. If Paul were in the present day and this hour, I don't think how many people would hear him. Why, he's a very proud man and very boastful. Right? But when you speak the truth, the thing is, can we have a ear to hear? Don't judge the flesh of the man. Judge what he said. That is what it is. Judge the life. Judge how he lived the life. Judge the ministry, whether it's of God or not. How do we know Brother Branham is of God? Is it because of what he said? Because of his doctrine? Yes. Because of the ministry that manifests itself that he was a man of God. Right? And we have seen hundreds on imitation today. And you can see that these things do not justify the Word of God, not verified by the Word of God. You don't find that being established by God's Word. You see. So it's important how we hear. Now let's finish this part here. You seek to kill me, a man who have told you the truth which I have heard, and this did not Abraham. And he said, we've been not born of fornication. We have one God, one Father, even God. Just unto that, if God were your Father, you would have loved me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came out of myself, but he sent me. Now, if you were of God, you would have loved him. Even though even he is your enemy. The Bible didn't really say love your enemy. Even Jesus, the word of truth. Love is the preeminent that is in God. Love is something that is all. But God is just love. So how can you say you have God and then not love him? Why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot hear my word. Why? How come they cannot hear his word? It's due to us to their religiosity. There's some religion that they cannot understand. Today there's it's practically the same. Right, brother? But see, those who are in the Catholicism,
They know nothing.
That's why the book that I, the email, is an e-book. That nun says, I was there from a young age, being brought into the convent. And I don't know anything. They said, do this, do this, do this, do that. And nothing. You don't really know nothing. You only know how to dress like a holy person with a gown and a cup and everything. Behave everything so religiously, you know, pray with a clap, say maybe. Like, you know, in Chinese mythology, I mean, Chinese religion, you must make your hand in a certain way, you know? I don't know how they pull their arm, the finger, you know? You ever seen them? Huh? I don't know how they form them, I don't know whatever they do, in that sort of shape or total shape, whatever. They have to do a certain gesture. I mean, religion is what it is. Everything must be done a certain way. Blah, blah, blah. You know, so how can they understand Christ's speech? Because they were so religious, they cannot understand. You are your father, the devil. Now, the morning they question Jesus in the morning, now Jesus give them the answer. You are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, you are your father, the devil. Anybody like to hear that? I mean, you tell that to somebody, they probably slapped you in the face. And here the Pharisees were really angry with you. They were really boiling men inside there. And he said, the lust of your father you will do. The lust of your father you will do. Just imagine what the devil will do. The devil is full of lust, of course. Fornication, killing, murder, liars. And he said that he was a murderer from the beginning. When? From the beginning. Not in the garden, eh? It can't kill Abel, no. It goes back to the destruction of the dinosaur world. You see? Alright? And he was a liar. He abode not in the truth, he was a because there's no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own. Why? That's when God said, what have you done? And the devil says, what have I done? Not nothing. Paul said, I've done nothing. And how did the animal get to destroy themselves? He will not tell the truth. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. When you are born in the lies, okay, in darkness, when people tell the truth, tell you, give you light, you won't accept. Which of you convinced me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, hear God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He that is of God, hear God's word. Simple fact. My sheep hear my voice. Now, I think Jenny's have a dog. Those of you have, anybody have dogs? You know. Now you can put all the dogs together, maybe all the same kind of dogs. Put them all together. And they're all playing around and you just call the name of the dog. There's only one dog to come to you. Because he knows the master's voice. Isn't it? Sure. All the rest of the dog will just ignore the voice of the person who called it. The dog. Only the dog will know. And God calls us by name. We hear we hear God's voice. Then answered the Jew and said unto him, say, we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? Aha, did not we tell you that you are a Samaritan and devil? You know what? The Samaritan, you know the history of the Samaritan. Okay, let's go to Ezra 4:3, quickly. Ezra 4:3. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the father of Israel said unto them, to the Samaritan, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as king of Cyrus, the king of Persia, have commanded us. Even in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 20, next book, Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 20, these two books goes together. And it says here, then answer I them and say unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us, therefore we are his servant, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memory in Jerusalem. So the Samaritan and the Jew have always been a loggerhead from them, since back in history time. Alright, so that's why they said, we know not. That's why we say you are a Samaritan. You see, he said to Jesus, and you have a devil. And you have a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judge. I don't judge you, but God will judge you. Very, very, I said to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jew unto him, Now we know now you have a devil. Now look at what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now they say, we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste death. Every man has to die. Every man has to die. Even Abraham died, Moses died, all the prophets died. Now we know you're a devil. He said that, well, everybody following you will not see death. How is it possible? We know you're a man. Because everybody has to die. Are thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophet are dead? What make thou thyself? Who are you then? Are you greater than Abraham? Jesus answered him, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honor me, of whom said you said that he is your God. You have not know him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him, not I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and kept his saying. If I say I do not know the Father, then I'm like you, I'm a liar. But I'm telling you the truth, I know the Father. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. How is it possible? What is it? You're not even 50 years old. Now Jesus was only about 33 now, coming to 33 years old. And not even 50. Now why did they look, they use the word 50? Because in the book of, Numbers chapter 4, verse 47. Here we have from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old. Everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation. So for 30 years old, so Jesus came when he went to the ministry, he was 30 years old. Remember? 30 years old is the prime life. You begin your ministry. 50 years old, you consider old man. So that's why we are senior citizen that's original 50 years old. But now in Singapore, you go up 55 and 50, 60. I think another 10 years will be 65. You'll never get your senior citizen card. Alright? Most countries 50 years old, then you're 55. Okay? But that is what? You service the temple, you walk in the temple for 20 years, 30 to 50. 50 years old, you consider old. So go and relax and sit under the bamboo tree and play the harp. Something like that. You retire. So they say, you're not about 50 years old. Maybe Jesus was so much, stressed. You know, he was under stress in the ministry with compassion going out to the people and with all this attack. So he looks kind of, maybe he looked like 50. I don't know. So he said, you're not even 50. And you have seen our father Abraham? Yeah, and Jesus said unto them, Verily, I said to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. The word same thing he used again. Before Abraham exists, I am. Well, now they get me more furious. You know? Did Abraham saw Jesus? Remember he said in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What is my day? My day, the day that I am here now. Abraham saw my day. But not only that, Abraham actually saw in a vision, even Christ, or we will say not Christ in that sense, but, oh well, we can use the word Christ, but not Jesus. Christ means the anointed. When God came in the theophany, he talked to him, Melchizedek, they saw the face. And yet, more. Abraham saw Jesus' day. What day? Look at the book of Hebrew. We are going to close the last verse after that. Hebrew 11, verse 8. Now this is what Paul wrote, huh? Okay, how did he know? How did he know that Abraham had been through all that? Because Paul had revelation, huh? Hebrew 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. When she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even a one, And him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky and the multitude as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrim on the earth. Abraham saw the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Abraham saw our day, all the way that Jesus Christ came, brought the gospel, what the gospel would do. You know, knowing the pilgrims and the stranger upon his earth. He was a pilgrim. Isaac was a pilgrim. So was Jacob. So are you. So am I. We are all pilgrims. We are all strangers on this earth, walking by. This world is not our home. So before Abraham I was, then they took up stone to cast him for Jesus, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So they took up stones. Remember, as I said, it's a temple, not finished yet, so there are some stones, there were small stones, you know, they have to chip stones and make beautiful. So they are probably looking for stone. Now, some people said that from this verse that Jesus kind of disappeared, you know, by some miracles or something, but I don't believe that is what it happened. What happened is that they are all the heroes. Not every one of them are Pharisees and scribes. Okay? So among those that was there, they stood down to find stone. The moment Jesus knew that they are going to stone him, he went out quickly among the crowd and got up and escaped from them. You know? So he's just as human. Not because... Now you say, well, Jesus, what a power. Why don't he just call down heavens and do whatever he could? But he doesn't need that. He's human. And he needs to move as he needs to move. Alright? So he went out and passed away from this would-be killer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, grace the word of truth, Father, in our life and that which we have heard and which we have learned, Father. We pray, the Lord, again that the word always stays in our heart. And as thou would say, Lord, he that is of God, hear God's word. And the word, O Father, is that which give us eternal life. The word that is that which give us the life in this world of darkness. So, Father, lead us and guide us, O Father, Lord. And may we always have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. We commit all this to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.